It's slow humor. Okay, it is. I mean, it is. Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. I didn't want you to miss that. But anyway, that means everybody has to eat Mexican food for lunch today. Wherever you go eat, make sure you eat Mexican food today. Okay? Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 13. The Lord said, But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. What else has he done, Lord? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. Verse 17 be our last this morning. And came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Let's go on to verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We look now at an area of the Scriptures in which this beautiful chapter has brought us to, and that is to unify ourselves as believers, not just as church members and churches, but as Christians in general. In this world, there's all kinds of obstacles in which Christians can put around themselves and cause people not to get along like they should. Let me make you understand this, and this is the beauty of our Savior. It's in him we're all one. I don't care who we are or what we are in this life. In Christ Jesus, we are all one. In the church, we are all one. And therefore, knowing that and understanding that, we need to do everything we can in this life to make ourselves one. And as I found out in my little over 30 years in the ministry, as I've watched and been around many different preachers, many different churches, and many different Christians in general, I have seen Christians put walls around themselves. I've seen Christians put barriers around themselves, and totally eliminating people that are other Christians from themselves. We can't do that. It's not right for us to do that. Amen. We have to understand the grace of God, and I'm going to get into all this in a minute, like my introduction, but we have to understand the grace of God that brought us together. Jesus here is talking about us as Christians. He's not talking about necessarily about us and God, although he is. He's talking about us as Christians here, tearing down the walls that broke us and separated us. So today our study brings us to unity. I've titled it, Christians Are One in Christ. That's what we are we not? Christians must have unity in this world. Must. Stop having things that make you angry at other Christians or making you disappointed in other Christians. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. And once a Christian understands their life, understands the works of God in their life, then they understand that, you know what? I thank God for everything I am. Because if it were not for the grace and mercy and love of God, if it were not from the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, I would not be in this life what I am as a Christian. Amen. I think sometimes Christians want to credit themselves with what they are. Folks, we have to credit God with everything we are. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10, if you want to go there and meet me there. It matters not what we are or where we come from in this world. As Christians, we are the same in Christ. We are the children of God. God never told Christians to build walls around each other for any reason, not even for doctrinal walls. That is the Christian's biggest error in their life, is to build doctrinal walls. I'm not talking about the church here. Don't make a mistake in what I'm saying. It matters what you believe, okay? I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But as Christians, it don't matter what you believe. It matters that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior first and foremost. If you don't believe that, you're lost. If you do believe that, then you're a child of God. And then you build from there. We all have one thing in common. One single bond. And that bond is that we are all chosen by the same God, called by the same Holy Spirit, and saved by the same Savior in Jesus Christ. The same blood has cleansed us from all of our sins. One Savior died on that cross. One Savior died on that cross for everyone who will ever be saved. We are taught from one Bible, with one gospel, and by one Holy Spirit are we taught. We do not all believe the same. Our doctrinal beliefs are different. Our understanding has a human element to it, which were different in understanding and doctrinal belief. I have personally never seen two Christians with biblical understanding who agrees 100% on the entire scriptures. Not one time. We all differ in something. Jesus has told us in verses about the separation of Jews and Gentiles. He made a very bold statement in verse 13. We just read this. That's the reason I told you to go on to 2 Corinthians. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not only made nigh, that is close to one another, close to God, and close to Jesus, but we're all made close to in all the areas. I see in context Paul writing to this church at Ephesus about fellowship with each other. While it speaks of our relationship with God, the purpose of this is to the Christians and to our oneness together, whether we're Jew or Gentile. Remember, there's only two different people, Jews and Gentiles. That's the way God looks at them. Jews and Gentiles. But in Christ, we are one. So let us remember, we are all blessed with the same measure of grace, and the greater your spiritual understanding, listen, the greater your walk in Christ, the closer you walk with the Holy Spirit is a blessing from God. Do not credit yourself with those things. You say, well, I work hard. I study hard. And I agree with you. I go to church all the time. I listen. I learn. I agree with you. But who is it that put you here? Who is it that gave you the understanding to understand those scriptures? A lot of people go to church for decades and never understand much of the Word of God. Pastors are put in the pulpit, and their greatest messages are the messages of God. Their poorest messages are the messages of God. We have no control over them. I know that for a fact. I walk into this pulpit sometimes not even really understanding what I'm going to get to for the day, and it just comes out of me. That's God, folks. Feeding you as a church what you need. I can't take credit for those things. I'm responsible for none of it. God gives me those things. And he gave you everything you have as a Christian. Spiritual understanding, biblical understanding, how your walk in life is, how you ought to attend church, how you do attend church, all of them by the grace of God. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "For do we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves?" You hear what he says? "But they measure themselves by themselves." A lot of people do that. A lot of Christians do that. I know some pastors that do that. They measure themselves by themselves. Well, it says never pat yourself on the back. You let others pat you on the back. Why not? Because they see what you don't see. You see the good in yourself. Sometimes you'll see the bad in yourself, but you see the good in yourself. It is human nature for people to think they're the smartest, brightest, best, strongest, when you may not be. So he says, "But they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves." Well, am I going to compare myself against what Larry understands, or Justin understands, or Ronnie understands? What am I going to do? That's what he's talking about. He goes on to say these words, are not wise. If you do those things, you're not wise. "But we will not boast of things without our measure. It is our measure that we boast on." And what are we boasting on? Boasting on God, aren't we? God's the one that gave us our measure. "But according to the measure of the rule which God had distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure." We have limits. Everybody has limits. God's given us all limits. Whatever the measure of grace is from God to us is what we have, folks. We're not going to get any better. We're going to be what God has made us. Amen. As though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure. Not boasting on the PhD I have, or the education that I do have, or how bright I might be, but boasting on the measure that God gave me. And the greatest measure we have is the gospel. That's what we ought to be preaching. That's our number one message. That is, of another man's labors. But having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. He goes on to say these words, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of thinking, made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I can repeat other men's words. I can have other men's standards. I can have other men's doctrine. I can have other men's knowledge. But what is it? Is it according to the scripture? Is it what God has given me? God treats us all differently. No two people are treated the same by God. He gives everyone a measure of grace. The measure of grace is to, first be saved, second to grow in grace, to grow in understanding, to grow in knowledge, to grow in wisdom, to mature as Christian. You wake up on Sunday or Wednesday and go to church because God put an unction in your heart to do so. If God did not do for you everything you do, if he did not give you ability to do everything you do in life, you wouldn't do it. It goes against what we are by nature. You say, I'm not nature, I'm spiritual. You're spiritual, but you're still nature. 1 Corinthians 15. So thank God for who you are in the Lord. Boast not because of your blessings of grace, mercy, and the love of God. Boast not because they're not your work. They're the work of God. It's the Holy Spirit that brings to us the things we need in life, isn't it? Faith, love, spiritualness, holiness, faithfulness, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness. All of these things are the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God gives to us by the measure of grace. And what I'm saying is, instead of people building walls around themselves because they're sovereign grace and others are not, or they're not as strong as you are, is wrong. Again, I'm not speaking about the church. The church is a holy place where only people of like faith are allowed to speak, sing, and do other things. But I'm talking about Christians in the world. I get people, because I am sovereign grace, I get people that call themselves Christians and act like Christians who are disappointed in me because I'm sovereign grace. Never giving a thought to that they could be wrong. I was taught, young preacher, when you're around Christians, you find common ground to walk on. And that's what Christians ought to do. How can you walk on common ground and be angry at one another? Or be disappointed in one another? Because they're not you. I'm not you either. I told the men of this church, some of them, when I came here, I'm not Oscar Mink. I'm not. I'm not even Horace Hammond. Nobody else will ever be Randy Johnson. Unless that's their name, and they'll never be what I am. God's made me what I am in this life because that's what he wants me to be. It's like he's made Justin and Ronnie and Larry and all you other folks here what he's made you, because that's what he wants you to be. Do you know that a lot of people don't understand spiritual and doctrinal truth because God's never given them that measure of grace? Think about that. Let that sink in. They're not as blessed as you are in that area. So, understanding that it is true that our labor in life leads to greater believers. You going to church, you sitting and you studying God's word and you paying attention to the messages will only make you grow. I'm not saying that your work and labor in life is not causing you to be a better Christian. But it is God who's causing you to do these things. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, I am the least, and you'll know these scriptures, but we're going to read them anyway. I am the least of the apostles. What did Paul just say? Did you hear Paul? I don't think there's too many Christians that understand the Bible much at all, that will understand that Paul was not the least of the apostles. I mean, God had to pen 13 or 14 books of the Bible. He's penned more books in the Bible than any other writer in the entire scriptures. God chose him to be an apostle to the churches, to the Gentiles. Gentiles didn't have an apostle, really, until God appointed him. So I think it's lack on anybody's part to assume that Paul was the least of the apostles. But notice here that he thought himself that way. Paul's not exaggerating here. He's not exaggerating at all. I'm going to say that Paul actually did think, because of his past life and his late start, although he was apostle many years, that he was the least of the apostles. He didn't walk with Jesus on this earth. He hated the first church, persecuted the first church. He hated Jesus, persecuted all them Christians. That I am not to meet to be called an apostle. I don't know what he's talking about. I, as a pastor, I understand that. I don't consider myself meet to be called a pastor. I mean, when you look at a pastor, you think about a pastor. What do you think about? You think about a holy man, don't you? You think about someone that God works with daily. Well, God works with us all daily. What makes me more qualified in this life to be a pastor than Ronnie or Larry or Justin or Frank? Nothing. But that's what God chose to make me. So I understand what he's talking about. Because Paul goes on and gives the reason, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. In other words, God made me what I am. Even though what I did, I'll always regret and I'll never forget it, Paul said. And it makes me feel like that I'm the least. Aren't we all sinners? We all sometimes forget, not all of us, but a lot of us sometimes forget that we're sinners. That we're not all holy. We do have downsides. And by his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, not yet I, but the grace of God which was in me. In other words, the measure of ability that God gave to me. It wasn't me, it was God. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. It don't matter who preaches the gospel is the gospel, isn't it? God's going to use it as he uses it. So, and now go to Galatians 3, if you will. Galatians 3. We must understand this one fact, that we are all God's children, and while some children are more blessed than others, we are one family in Christ Jesus without exception. Paul also wrote these words in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, that is Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond or free. There's neither male or female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if be in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In other words, if you're saved, you're Abraham's seed. And you're one. God engrafted us into Abraham, and therefore that's who we are. Not being able to separate ourselves. Now let's get to our first point back in our text, Ephesians 2. I'm sorry for the long introduction, but I want to make that point. Because our first point in verse 14 says, for he is our peace who has made both one. Talking about Jews and Gentiles here. It is God who wants to make us one. in Christ Jesus, and that's what God has made us, because that's what he wants. And it's our understanding, it must be our understanding, that in Christ we are one. Not because we're Sovereign Grace, not because we're Baptist, but because we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the very first start of it all. Which you are made that also by the measure of grace that God has given to you. If you're saved and others aren't, why are you saved and they're not? Because God hath given you the mercy and grace to be his child. For he is our peace. That is, Jesus Christ is our peace, who brought peace to the world. There was no peace in the world until Jesus came. And the whole world wasn't in peace, just those that he died for are in peace. We're at peace with the world because we understand that God's going to destroy it someday. That vengeance is his. We're at peace with one another because we understand that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're at peace with God because we understand that he's our Father and he saved our souls. And through that salvation, we will never suffer the wrath of God. It don't matter what Satan wants to do to us. We know by the example of Job that Satan can only do what God allows him to do. So we have much to be at peace with. And while we're at peace with God and peace with God in Jesus Christ, we need to be at peace with one another as Christians. Let no barrier settle between us. If you find a brother or sister in Christ, you love that person. If they're an Armenian, you still love them. If God tells you to love your enemies and pray for them to spitefully use you, what do you think he's talking about when he tells you to love your brothers and sisters in Christ? He never put no stipulations on anything. God never put any walls between us. He told us, you understand this, and you understand it loud and clear, that you are what I have made you. So everything that God has made you, you thank God for, and you pray for those that don't understand. So Jesus Christ has brought peace to the world. What divides us is this world dividing us. Ourselves, our nature is what divides us. I mean, look at how awful humans are. We had a young man to stop a 75-year-old man whom he got road rage over and stopped and almost beat him to death, or did beat him to death. I can't remember the entire story. A 75-year-old man, because he was road raged. That's human nature, folks. That's what we have become in this world. As a human beings, that's what the world has come to. Look at the politics in America. We can't even agree on anything. We can't even get along with each other anymore. The hate is so deep in our political arena that we don't know what's going and what's not going. But as Christians, we ought to be different than that. I sometimes get people that's rude to me. I had a preacher the other day that was rude to me because of something I said. That what I said was wrong. That's okay. He that is without sin cast the first stone. And what he said to me was very rude. He's been rude to me before, been rude to my wife before, and been rude to this church before. So I cut him off. I don't want to hear anything else from him. Until he gets nice, I don't want to hear anything else from him. I love him. I pray for him. But I'm not going to put up with insults from another preacher. I ain't going to do it. I don't have to. I'm not going to. The Lord never told me to do that. He told me to pray for them. That's not the way you treat other Christians. You do everything you do with a loving heart. With a loving heart. I'm almost out of time. Oscar Mink said this. He says, we need to be ever mindful that Paul was God's apostle to the Gentiles. Romans 11:13. There was no divine prohibition against Paul teaching to the Jews. Jesus taught sinners, didn't he? Jesus sat with sinners, didn't he? So Brother Mink said there's no prohibition of Paul preaching to the Jews. Nor was there the other apostles forbidden to preach to the Gentiles. The church or churches commission is to all the world. That's what we're supposed to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what he's talking about here. And no person was to be refused a hearing of the gospel because of the race and nationality. He's right. I don't care what a person is in this world. They deserve to hear the gospel. Christians can't sit around and judge what they can and can't do. Christians need to do what God tells them to do. How else is brothers and sisters going to ever come to Christ if we're not teaching them the gospel? We have to break the walls down. They're not going to break them down. We have to. And the same thing among the believers. It don't matter about their attitude. Their attitude is what it is. You be nice to them. And you do what God tells you to do. You love them, nonetheless. If we preach to the world, and the world believes, then that makes us not only Christians, but brothers and sisters in Christ. Isaiah 53. We as Christians must have peace in Jesus Christ. It's a must. We can't war against each other. We can't battle each other. We have to accept what we are. Because you are what you are because that's what God has made you. Until everybody as a Christian understands that they are what they are by the grace of God, by the measure of grace and mercy and love that God has given to you personally, and that makes you what you are, until you understand that you didn't do that. I hate to repeat what Obama ever said, but you didn't. Give me a chill. But anyway, you didn't. God made you what you are. Well, that brought a warm feeling around. But God made you what you are. And you thank God. And you have the heart and your body that you're supposed to and gratitude toward the Lord. We as Christians must have peace in Jesus Christ. Let's note Isaiah 53 verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. and with his stripes you were healed. The chastisement of our peace means the bond of our peace. The bond of our peace is in Jesus Christ. It's not in us. It is that thing that's in us. It is the Holy Spirit in us. It is the Savior in us. It is the Father in us that gives us the peace that we should have, not only with God, not only with Jesus, not only with the Holy Spirit, but with each other as Christians, and not only in the church, but outside of the realms of this church. The results are the efforts of Christ's works are on the cross. That's where it's at, on the cross. And him on the cross destroys the enmity by the abolishing of all that separates us in this flesh. See, lost people don't love each other. They hate each other. You know where the road rage and stuff comes from, what we're talking about? It comes from the hate in people's hearts. That's the same thing with school shootings. That's the same thing with mall shootings. That's the same with everything else. It's the hate in people's hearts. It's the political hate. It's all hate. But it's Christ on the cross that caused us to be what we are, peaceful with one another, creating of a new man in us for unity, and not only with the Godhead, but also with each other. Tonight, we're going to look down that or we're going to look at the part where God has broken down, Christ has broken down the middle wall partition between us. Thank you for your attention. Let's all stand. Let Justin come.